Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Now, we've had a great year, but 2013 is going to supersede what has happened in 2012. God always moves us forward, onwards and upwards. God will never take us in reverse, will never take us back, will never do something that he's already done before. Everything God does is new. It's fresh. And the amazing thing about the power of his word is you can look at his word and you can read it a number of times, but yet God will always make his word fresh. He will always make it life into our lives, no matter how many times we read it, no matter how many times we look at it, because his word is alive, because it's living, because it's active, it will always be life to you. It will always strengthen. It will always speak. It will always encourage. It will always lead you further. It will always lead you forward. It will always reveal more of who Jesus is. And as we keep the word of Jesus, the word of life, the word of God right at the center of our lives, then we will grow. We will grow in God, we will grow in faith, we will grow in love, we will grow in his life, we will live more fully in who he already is on the inside of us. So we're not trying to grasp something that is not ours. What we're seeking to do is live more fully in what he has already given us. And I love the word. And let's have a look in John chapter 1 for a few moments. And we're going to look in there and just look at one or two things and this morning so that we live in the fullness of his life. Now, at the beginning of next year, while you're turning there, we're starting the year with 10 days of prayer and fasting. Maybe if I said we're going to start the year with 10 days of miracles, would that get a better response? It's the same thing. Absolutely. So we're going to start the year with 10 days of prayer and fasting, 10 days to encounter Jesus, to pray together, seek God together, and to see a fresh release of the Holy Spirit. Now, hopefully, these should be out in your chairs, are they? They're not. Where are they? Info point. What are they doing there? Should be out in everybody's seats. Anyway, there's loads of these. That's just a little internal thing there. There's loads of these out in the info point. So grab these. These are just a bit of an outline of what it is to pray and fast, some of the things for those 10 days, the timings and where we're going to be meeting, where there is prayer going on, both here and in Crawley. So grab one of these, easy to put inside your diary or your Bible or whatever you carry around in your pocket, just to remind you of some things. So you can grab that on the way out, and they will be available next Sunday as well. And that just gives you a little bit of a hint as to what we're going to be praying into and how we're going to be praying in those first few days of the new year, 2nd to the 11th of January. Now, I really want to encourage everybody really to ask the Lord what you should really do in relation to fasting. I want to encourage as many people as possible to actually fast for 10 days, okay, just to have drink, you know, liquids. But if really get before God and ask him, you know, when God speaks, he graces you to do what he says for you to do. And we've only got 10 days to pray and fast. It's not like we're doing 40 days this time. And so I believe it's much more possible for many more people to be fasting for those 10 days. I believe God wants us to set aside those 10 days, not just to kind of nod our cap or to kind of tip our cap to the Lord for 10 days. And, well, I'll miss breakfast. You know, I normally miss breakfast anyway, so I'll miss it and, you know, just pray in the car on the way. I believe God wants us to have a slightly different attitude to the first part of the year and say, no, I want to set aside this first 10 days and really give God the space to meet with me as I seek to meet with him. And I want him to reveal more of who he is in my life. And I want to know him in a deeper way. I want him to really encounter me and impact me with his life. And so I want to give God some space to do that. I don't just want to fit God into my normal schedule. So when we fast, there's no point fasting unless we're going to pray. Otherwise, fasting is just a good work and it means absolutely nothing. So if you're going to fast, we'll want everybody to fast at least one meal a day. But I want to encourage everybody, every adult, everybody's over 18 to at least be open to fasting for the full 10 days. And it'd be quite a good thing anyway after Christmas. I'm sure many people will be slightly eating slightly more than usual. So, but I believe as we do that and give God the space, then he's going to encounter with us and meet with us during those 10 days. And it will really set the tone for 2013. We've then got our vision night on the 13th of January. Now, I was going to bring a message this morning, but I believe God says, no, wait until the morning of the 13th. I believe God, I've got a word for the year to kind of kick the year off on the 13th of January in the morning, and then it'll be a great follow-up in the evening, having our vision night, which will not just be about vision, but it'll also have strategy, steps to it, how we're going to move forward as a church in 2013. So it'll be very practical as well. It will involve everybody in the life of the church to move forward in 2013. So yes, there's vision, but there'll be real strategy with it as to how we're going to move forward next year. So it will mean a stretch for every person. It will mean a change in the way things are happening around here, in here and in Crawley and whatever, and some things beginning around the area. But it's going to be an exciting year, a great year to step into. And that's why these 10 days of prayer and fasting are going to be so key to those times. So there's early morning prayer here at 6:30 on those 10 days. There is lunchtime, if you can make it, at Roffey Place. And then there are some evenings, particularly the second half of that 10 days, encounter nights we're going to have here together, both this congregation and the one in Crawley. And obviously all the students will be back by then, so they'll be part of that. And we'll just really launch into the first part of the year together. There are going to be some other evenings during the first few months of next year on Wednesday evenings where we want to gather everybody together for some Wednesday nights where we're going to be praying, we're going to be meeting with God, we're going to be worshiping, we're going to be hearing the word, we're going to be and it's all connected with moving into 2013 together. So it won't just finish with 10 days of prayer and fasting. There's some other evenings between January and Easter that we'll be meeting on Wednesday evenings, every alternate one, as a church, to really push into and move into next year with as much momentum as we possibly can. So everybody's key to that. Everybody's important to that. Everybody's, everybody matters in that whole thing. So it's not just the eager beavers, but it's every person that God wants to be involved in what he's doing. He's called us to be part of the body, part of this church. And therefore, it's important that, you know, he's saying that everybody's an important part to play in what he wants to do in 2013. Amen. Somebody said in the thank you cards that it was the best, 2012 has been the best year they've ever had. Well, we want 2013 for every one of us to be the best year we've ever had. So we want to launch into that in the best way possible. And let's set aside the time and really meet with God. Right, let's just have a look at the word, shall we? John chapter 1, reading from the Message, not the Message, the Truth version. Sorry, there's so many versions these days. The Truth. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is the Word. Amen. That's it, full stop. He is it. He is the Word. Beginning, the end, final Word, that is His. He is the Word. He existed in the beginning before time began. Well, Jesus has been around. The Word became flesh in Jesus. So He's been around since the beginning, before anything began. This Word was with God, and indeed the Word was God. He was the Word that God spoke in the beginning. Well, just imagine God, before the beginning of time, before time was set in motion, the Word was with God. The Word was residing, remaining. The Word is God. And when God spoke, He released Himself. He didn't just release a word. When God spoke, He released Himself. Yes. And so when God began to form things, create things and speak to create things thousands of years ago, He released Himself into creation. It wasn't just a word of something. He released Himself to begin to create and to form. He was the Word that God spoke in the beginning. By this word, verse 3, by this spoken word through Jesus, everything was created. Nothing could exist if it were not for Him. In Jesus, In this word was the life that brought God's light into people's lives. So he is the light. This light came and shone into the spiritual darkness of the world. But the darkness did not want the light and so did not receive the light. So it was the same then, it's the same now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the light. Salvation has come. But we know much of the world still does not want the light, or it does not know the light. Let's have a look. What does John then say? Verse 6. Before Jesus came, God sent another man called John to his people. God called him to be a witness to prepare people for the coming of the light, for he wanted everyone to believe in Jesus. But John was not the light, only the one preparing for the coming of the light. Jesus himself was the true light, able to give spiritual light and understanding to all men, and he was coming into the world. So the Bible says that John was not the light, but he was the one preparing people for the coming of the light. Now we know that the light has come because Jesus has already come. He came 2,000 years ago. Now we know this week is about a Christmas day. You know, it's about the birth of Jesus as a baby, being born as the Savior and being born as the light coming to earth. But John says, I am not the light. I'm the one that is coming to prepare the way for the light. Now, we know the light has come, but part of our purpose on earth now is to let people know that the light has come, and in one sense, to prepare the way for people to be born again, for people to come and know the light. So our lives are lived as people of the light, showing people the way to the light. So John the Baptist was a prophet, but he lived in a prophetic way to say that I'm living now to prepare people as an example, as a prophetic life, to say, look, my life is pointing to the one that is to come. Now, we can live in the same way, but we can live in the same way because we are now people of light, because the word has been made light, or because the word has become life in us. Jesus has become life to us. We are now here to live that life as light, so that others can see that light, be drawn to that light and come to know that light in the same way. Verse 10. So Jesus came from heaven into this world. And although the world was created through him, people did not recognize who he was when he came. Even though he came among those who rightly belonged to him, they still did not accept him. However, some did welcome him and they came to believe that he was God's son. To them he gave the right to become God's children, those who are not only born naturally with a human mother and father, but God given a second birth by God. The word then became a man and came to live amongst us. Those of us who knew him have seen his glory, the glory that could only belong to the one and only Son of God. He came from the Father in heaven, was full of grace and truth. He was constantly giving to people and also taught what was right. John taught about Jesus. He openly proclaimed, he is the one of whom I spoke when I said, the one who comes after me is much greater than I, because he existed long before I was born. Jesus was full of grace, and we all received from him one act of grace after another. He constantly blessed us in ways we could never deserve. God gave us the law through Moses, but grace and truth came when he sent Jesus Christ. Amen. No one has ever seen God in his majesty and glory, but Jesus, the one and only Son, who is himself God and who is one with the Father, came to make him known to us. Amen. So why did Jesus come then? Jesus came, we know, to be the Savior, but he came to reveal the Father. How did Jesus reveal the Father? He lived the Father's life on earth. Now, how do we know that? Let's just have a look at John chapter 6 for a moment. Verse 38. Jesus says himself in John 6, 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So right from the word go, Jesus is saying, I'm the light of the world, but I've not come so that people see me. I've come to reveal who the Father is. I've come to show who God is, who the Father is. And he says here, I've not come to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. Now, let's just take a look at those few verses. Verse 39 for a minute says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Yes. Now, let's have a look at those verses for a minute. Jesus is saying, I'm not here to do my thing. I'm here to do the will of the Father. But then he says, what is the Father's will? That I shall lose none of those that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. So Jesus has come because he wants to present us before the Father and say, look at this one. This is one that has responded. This is one that I have saved. This is one that I have healed. This is one that I've totally transformed. He wants to raise us up on the last day, on the day when every man, every woman, every person that has ever lived is going to have to stand before God and give an account for their lives. Jesus' heart is and Jesus' purpose was to make sure that his heart was that all men should be saved. But the ones that respond, he said, I don't want to lose any of them, and I want to be able to present them to you, Father, on that last day. Present them saying, this is one that I've saved. This is one that has not been lost. This is one that I've totally transformed. But then he says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Let's just have a look at one or two words in this verse. He says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son. Now, the word look there actually means everyone who experiences and acknowledges. Now, both those words there are done in a continuous tense. So Jesus is not saying everybody who just has a look at God and makes a decision, I'll raise up at the last day. He says everyone who experiences in an ongoing way and everybody who acknowledges in an ongoing way, then everyone who believes, and the word believes there mean everyone who trusts on an ongoing way, everybody who aligns their life, everyone who commits themselves or gives themselves, again, in a continuous way, or another word in there for the word believes is to cleave. So there's a lot more than just, I'll check God out, have a look and see if he does me a favor, then I might kind of give him, tip my cap to him. No, what Jesus is saying here is everybody who goes on experiencing, goes on acknowledging, goes on trusting, goes on aligning, goes on cleaving to him shall have eternal life. Wow. They're the ones that I'm going to raise up. So Jesus says, I've not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of the Father. What is that? It's to reveal who the Father is so that everyone who looks, everyone who experiences, goes on, everyone who believes, everybody who trusts shall have this eternal life. Now let's have a look at John 5, verse 19. It's quite a challenge in there in terms of our salvation, walking with God. So when Jesus came as the light, he didn't just want to give people a glimpse so that people have a moment. He wanted to reveal who the Father was so that people could live with God, live in God, trust in God, align their lives with God. This is why the word is so important, being central in our lives. Because if we're going to align our lives with God, if we're going to live with God, then the word needs to be the thing that is determining our heart, is determining our attitudes, determining our responses, determining our thinking. It's the word that we align our hearts and our thinking with. So what does Jesus say in John 5 verse 19? I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So he's saying, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. So even though he's the Son of God, the Word made flesh, he also says at the beginning of Philippians in chapter 1, I think it's Philippians, that he humbled himself and made himself nothing. He came as a servant. So even in his all his ability as the Son of God on earth to do all kinds of things, he still said, no, I'm going to humble myself as a servant. I'm going to come as nothing and humble myself so that I am totally dependent on the life of the Father. I'm totally dependent on the words of the Father. I'm totally dependent on the Spirit of God being in me to live in the way that the Father wants me to on earth. So even though he was the Son of God, he still humbled himself and says, I cannot live this life in my own strength. I can do nothing apart from the Father. Wow. So Jesus' funeral happened before he went to the cross. Jesus' funeral happened on a daily basis, humbling himself before God, saying, Father, today I cannot do anything unless you're doing it. I can't speak anything unless you're speaking it. So, Father, I need to live dead to myself today, and I need to live alive in you today so that I only do what you want me to do and speak what you want me to speak. Because I could do nothing by myself. Wow. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? This is 2 days before Christmas. This is a happy clappy message that I thought I'd bring this morning. And we're going to have a funeral service this morning. Is that okay? That's a good thing. Because we're just going to make sure we're dead to ourselves. Because Tuesday, Christmas Day, is about the life of Jesus coming. And it's about us then living in his life, not living in our life. 2013 is going to be about living in his life, not in our life. There's things that God has planned to do and purposed to do in and through our lives that it's got to be his life, not ours. There's a lot of gifted people in the life of this church. There's a lot of gifted people, creative people. Lots of you guys have got great jobs, incredible jobs and skills and gifts in your life and all of that. But even though we've got all of the quality of people in the life of the church, we can't do what God wants to do next year in those abilities and in those gifts. Otherwise, what we're going to do is things are going to happen and we're going to say, oh, we did that. Or because so-and-so did, look at what they did. And actually, the Bible is quite challenging because it says, even when we've done everything, we're still not worthy. We're unworthy servants. Whoa. That you know, stabs you, doesn't it, in the natural. Even though we might have done everything, laid our lives down, done everything, served the Lord, please, done everything. Said, even when we've done everything, we're still unworthy servants. Wow. And that's why Jesus, he understood that, and he said, there's nothing I can do on earth in my own strength. It's got absolutely any value whatsoever. It's only what happens in according to what the Father's doing and what he's saying. Amen. Let's have a look at John chapter 8, verse 28 for a minute. You sound really encouraged this morning. I bet you're glad you came. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I wish I'd stayed in bed and just come tonight. There might be a few others who are doing that already. I don't know. They might have decided that. They thought, yeah, I reckon it's going to be quite a tough word this morning. Right, I'll stay in bed and go tonight. John 8, verse 28. Have I got the right? Yeah. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one who I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Wow. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. So here's Jesus. He's been already saying, I can't do anything in my own efforts, my own strength. I can't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. But I can't even speak anything unless he's taught me. Now, why are we looking at these scriptures this morning? One, because God wants us to live like this. But what it shows is, why did Jesus come? He came to reveal the Father. So unless Jesus lived like this, it wouldn't have revealed the Father. See, Jesus came into a culture that was very religious. And people were in bondage under the law. The religious people, the Pharisees, put the people under bondage because it was all about outward appearance, outward living, outward actions. And people felt if they didn't meet these actions, then they were not good enough for God. And Jesus came into the midst of that. And in the midst of that, he said, there's nothing I can do. See, the Pharisees said, if you do this, then that'll please God. If you do the other, then you're fulfilling the law. If you do that, then... But Jesus came and said, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing I can do that is anywhere near that God will accept. There's nothing I can do. I can fulfill all the law, but even then, it's still not good enough for God. There's all sorts of stuff I could do, but none of it's good enough. And so Jesus came with the opposite message than the people had heard before. There's many people out there in life that feel like, because I've done this, I'm not good enough for God. Because I've done that, I can never be forgiven. Because of this, I can't reach God. And on one level, they're right. There's nothing we can do. We can sin till the cows come home. And we can be as holy as possible in our own effort and strength. But none of it is good enough for God. So it's not trying to be a better person. It's not trying to live a good life. It's not trying to say, well, if I do this, then God will love me more. It will please him more. No, it's understanding that our life is in him. It's his life in us. And there's nothing we can do in our own efforts that will make God love us more than he already does. But when we walk in him, we walk in that love and we live in that love. God's love never changes. God's love is unfailing. But he wants us to walk and live in that love. How do we do that? In the same way, we say to Jesus, Jesus, the standard you've set for this life is just beyond me. I can't do it. It's impossible to live this holy life. And God's like, exactly, brilliant. Because I want you to live your life in me. Now, if I said this morning, okay, we're going to have a load of people healed this morning. So 10 of you that are sick, come and stand at the front. Now, if I then just picked 10 other people in the room and said, right, come on, don't pray for them, heal them. How many of you would suddenly go, I'm not ready? Or I knew I should have prayed this morning and I didn't. And so how many of you knew before you came this morning, if you were going to have to pray for sick people, would you have done something different before you arrived this morning? If you knew that you were going to come up the front and lay hands on people and see him healed, would you this morning, before you arrived, got up a bit earlier or made sure, I'm definitely going to have some time with Jesus this morning because people need to get healed and I need to be ready? Yes, no? You don't have to put your hands up. But if you were going to be preaching this morning, would you have got up at a different time this morning? Would you have spent any time in a different way with Jesus because you knew you were going to be preaching today? Very good. Very good. You know, do we compartmentalize our life in terms of where we trust God and where we don't? Where we live by faith or where we don't? So when you go into work on a Monday morning, how do you prepare going into work? Would you prepare going into work for your day in the same way as if you knew you were going to have to bring a word on a Sunday or bring a word in life group, or you were going to lead part of a VIP, Victory in Prayer meeting, or you were having to take an 8 o'clock, say, at Rothy one morning, or whatever it might be? Would you prepare for that in a different way than, well, I'm just going to work. I can handle work. I can do it at my own strength. I know what to do. I know the deal. Do we live by faith? Do we trust God? Because Jesus is saying here, He's saying, I only I only do the things that I see the Father doing. I don't trust myself. I only say the things he's going to say. Now, I know there's stuff in work and in life that you think, well, okay, I'm dealing with this, that and the other. But what we're talking about is our trust. Do we compartmentalise our lives and say, I'll trust God when I feel out of my depth and when I've got to do something more spiritual, but actually there's a lot of stuff in life I can just handle. And what Jesus is basically saying is, my trust is fully in the Father, no matter what I'm doing. Now, for many people, that sounds like it's a big crutch. That you have to trust God in everything to live your life. Now, we know a lot of us can go to work, do the stuff we do at work, and get on with it and come home and whatever. But actually, God wants us to live our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to live our lives with a tangible awareness and a presence of God with us, saying, God, I can do this job, but I don't want to do it in my own strength. God, today, I want whatever I'm doing in my work world, in where I'm living today, wherever you are in your life, whatever you're doing in this season of time, I don't want to live that in my own strength, in my own power. I want to live that in your strength and in your power, so that your nature, your character, your life flows through, comes through my life in every way. So that the way I meet challenges, the way I meet pressure, the way I deal with people, the way I make decisions, they're fully trusting in you. They're not coming from my own ability and strength, but they're flowing from your life that's within me. You being the light of life that is within me. I want that life to flow in my life. 2013, we want that to be a year where it's his life and light that flows through our lives in every facet of where we go. There aren't two separate worlds. There's not a natural and a spiritual in your and my lives. There is one world that we live in. There's one life that we live in. And we want to make sure we're prepared at the beginning of a day for whatever might come our way in life, in work, at home, out in the town, whatever it might be. We want to live prepared in season and out of season. For something that we know is going on and something that we don't even know might just come up. Very good. I know we can say, well, you know, sometimes just things happen. I'm not, you know, and spur of the moment. Absolutely. And God will do stuff. But how much more could happen if we live prepared, if we live ready, if we live on the front foot, if we live right on the edge, if we're living saying, Jesus, today I don't want to do stuff in my own effort. I don't want to say things just because it's my opinion. I want to live in the power of your spirit today. I want to live as a person of light today. I want to live in who you are already in me today as the light of life. Now, there are many things we could look at in terms of how Jesus revealed the Father on earth. The woman who got caught in adultery, she was dragged out in front of everybody in public. She could have been stoned according to the law. Jesus said, anybody that's not sinned, you can throw the first stone. One by one, everybody disappeared because everybody sinned. There was nobody there that had the right except Jesus, the only one who'd never sinned. What was his response? One of mercy? He said, who's condemned you? Nobody, sir, she replied. And he said, neither do I. Now go. Now he showed mercy, but he said, go, but leave your life of sin. So Jesus revealed the heart of the Father to be one of mercy. But as he revealed his mercy, he said, now don't take it for granted. Now you need to respond to my mercy. Now leave the life that you've been living and come into the life that I want to give you. The doorway is through my mercy that opens up the door. And as you respond, you then get forgiven. And then you step into my life. And then you can live a life in me, in the good of who I am. Other stories when different ways. Jesus looked on the crowd. He had compassion. And then he healed all the sick. See, what is that? It's the heart of the Father being revealed. He looks at people with compassion. And then he responds with compassion and healed the sick. Everybody he touched was healed. Other points, people were hungry. He looked at the people with compassion. They hadn't eaten for 3 days. So he then multiplied the fish and the bread. One time it's for 5,000, another time for 4,000. But he multiplied what was there and fed the people. When he hung on the cross, having been whipped and beaten, having been abused and everything, what did he say on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So even at that moment, what was the heart of the Father flowing through Jesus? Forgiveness, mercy, forgiveness, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What did Jesus say about forgiveness when he was asked, how many times you forgive? 70 times seven, what's that? That's continuous. Just keep forgiving, 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 forgiving. That's the heart of the Father. Forgive, 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 forgive. What does that reveal? Love, 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 love. Unfailing love that it reveals in terms of God's heart. There's loads of things that Jesus came in terms of revealing the nature and the character of the Father. How was that revealed? By saying, I can't live this in my own strength, this life. I've got to live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came as the light so that you and me could become people of the light. Why does he say, I can't do anything in my own strength? Because he wanted to live as the light. And he didn't want anything of darkness in his life whatsoever. The eyes are the lamp to your body. This is Christmas time, and we all relax a little bit over Christmas time. But let's make sure we guard our lives, guard our hearts with our eyes this Christmas. When you relax, that doesn't mean you switch off. When you relax, it doesn't mean you put your guard down. When you relax, it doesn't mean you put your shield of faith down. You don't put your sword of the Spirit down. So when we have a bit of relaxed time, don't put your shield and your sword over there and just say, well, I'll chill out, it's Christmas, that's all right. No, because you'll lose some ground. We don't want to give the ground, the enemy, any ground whatsoever. So with your eye, you know, is the gate for your body. Make sure you keep that gate firmly shut to stuff that's not going to be healthy, not going to build you up, not going to encourage you. There's loads of films on over Christmas, loads of stuff. Make sure you pick the right ones. I mean, let's be wise with our eyes. Because we are people of light. That's who we are. We are people of light. Let's not let any darkness enter in. There's enough darkness, enough stuff we're trying to contend with around lives and culture and everything that we get bombarded with. But let's not entertain the darkness and allow that stuff in. Let's be really vigilant as people of light. So you might ask yourself the question, Jesus, would you sit down and watch this? Would you actually have this conversation with somebody? Would you react in the way I am at this moment? Ask some of those questions. Holy Spirit, you're in me to enable me to live in the light. Yes. To live as light over these next, well, in life forever, but over these next week or so, especially during the holidays. So let's have a little funeral service this morning. Let's take a few moments. We won't have an organ sound that sounds really dirgy. You know, like a Frankenstein thing. But we want to just make sure that we're dead this morning and that it's his life that is in us.
Yes, come on.
Don't combat the flesh, just ignore it. Pull on the truth in your life. It says, clothe yourself with love, compassion, with faithfulness, gentleness. What's that? It's the nature and the character of who he is. Clothe yourself with him, with his word. Clothe yourself. Protect yourself, that means. Use that armor. So let's just have a funeral service this morning. And yes, we want to relax. Yes, important to get some sleep, get recuperated, and not to have to get up early, go about the business of our work lives. I know some of you might be working this week. But we want to stay on guard. We want to hit the ground running in 2013.
That's
right. Second day of the year, 2nd of January. We're hitting the ground running at 6:30 in here. We want as many people here as possible. We want to hit the ground running, not take 3 days to kind of get rid of a Christmas belly spiritually. We want to make sure, come on, let's go. This year is important. What God wants to do is significant in the life of other people's lives, not just our own. So firstly, thank the Lord that you have been crucified with Christ. Just thank him. Let's just really activate our faith right now. Thank you, Jesus, that I have been crucified with Christ. Thank you that I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Just thank him that you have been crucified. That old life has been dead and buried. So thank you, we're free from the power of sin. We're free from all that stuff that used to separate us from you. Thank you that I have been crucified. And so I just make a decision right now. I'm going to stay dead to myself. I'm going to say dead to that stuff. And Jesus, I choose to live according to your word, live according to your light, live according to the life that you've given me. So I just choose to put a guard around my life and my eyes. I'm going to protect, hold my shield of faith up, the sword of the Spirit up, and I'm going to make sure that I'm vigilant to guard my life in these next few days.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
As we heard, I think, I don't know if it was last Sunday, Pastor Colin said it or during the week, but God doesn't have Christmas in that sense. He knows it goes on, but heaven isn't having Christmas in that sense like we are. So God's not switching off over the next few days. God is working miracles, saving people, healing people. He's raising people from the dead today around the world. Around the world today, there are people being raised from the dead. There are people being healed of cancer and terminal sicknesses, of AIDS and other things. There are people today, on Christmas Day, there'll be people being raised from the dead. There will be all these things happening in this country, in other nations, all over the world. God is at work. God doesn't rest. He is at work all the time, transforming lives. And so, yes, relax, but let's not switch off. So, Father, I thank you that you've made us a people of light and a people of life. Father, I thank you that you have given us the gift of Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in us to live out the life of Jesus. That you're not in us to help us to live our life with Jesus. You're in us to live the life of Jesus. That's why you've got the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit to live the life of Jesus through you, in you and through you. That's amazing. That's why we've been crucified. It's not just the sin that's been crucified. It's you. It's me. We've been crucified and now we're alive in him. So it's his life that is being lived out. That's why Jesus says, I can't do anything except apart from the Father. I can't say anything because it's his life, his word. Now you might be standing there going, that's impossible, Clive. Absolutely. That's why the Holy Spirit is given to enable his life to be lived through us. So just say to the Lord this morning, I give up. I give up today on the 23rd of December, 2012. I cannot do it. I give up at this moment. I cannot be holy. I cannot live this life you've called me to live. It's impossible. Jesus, I give up right now. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in me to live your life, to live the life of Jesus through me, through this temple, through this body, your life in me right now. So I thank you that your nature, your character, your words, your life flows through me today, tomorrow, the next day, and so forth. I thank you that it's your life that is being lived out in me. So I thank you that I can't, but you can. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that that liberates me from trying. It liberates me from trying to improve myself. I can't.
That's right.
And I thank you that all the pressure lifts off right now to try to be this, to try to be that. God, I give up today on the 23rd of December. And I thank you that you can, through this body, through this life, you can. And so I choose from today to trust in you. I don't want to go to work in my own strength anymore. I don't want to live at home in my own strength anymore. I don't want to be a father or a mother or a husband or a friend. I don't want to be a parent. I don't want to be anybody in my own strength anymore. Jesus, Let your life be lived in this body so that your life flows, your nature flows, your character flows.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.